now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Season's greetings, one and all, and we hope that you have a very prosperous, abundant, fulfilling, and love-filled 2018. And let's keep the love vibe very high. That will negate the malign influence of the forces of evil, because they can't stand the love vibe that we put out. No matter what they try to do, remember, they're the ones behind the eight ball now that the energetic frequency shift has taken place. And we see this all across the board. These perps are making a lot of mistakes. They're acting impulsively. And even people that are full-on entity-infested hosts and know they are hosts for entities, they're losing it because the entities increasingly are exerting more and more control. Now, before it was incremental, now they're just taken over completely, and even the hosts, try as they might, they can't stop these entities from just momentarily taking over, and then they wind up doing something outrageous, appalling, heinous, stupid, right? So remember, they're the ones behind the eight ball now, not us, and by their fruits ye shall know them. We are watching all kinds of revelations occur all across the board, and if people just learn to connect the dots, they will see what we have been saying all along, that the control system is created by a bunch of perps, a bunch of sadistic sewer scum, and they've created this system to work for them and not for the rest of us. And what they've done is they've polluted the minds of people through their control of the media, academia, etc., etc. So what goes on in their filthy, vulgar, sadistic minds is now being spewed out by the television, by cinema, by the corporate media, etc. That much more reason why we need to raise our game. We need to raise the bar. And by doing so, we will overcome any and all challenges thrown our way. So that much being said, here we go with the show. Well, this one comes under the category of that didn't take too long. Several weeks back, there was a mailer vote in Australia to vote yay or nay on same-sex marriage. We have seen in other places, the UK and especially in Canada, that once the gender equality laws were put in place, same-sex marriages became the law of the land. Shortly afterwards, an avalanche of sex education, gender studies, gender equality teaching, transgender studies, so-called, pedophile grooming, etc., etc., starting at the earliest grades, kindergarten on up, became the norm in Canada, to the point now in Canada, it's basically illegal. It's a thought crime for someone to not go along with the whole sexualization, pedophile grooming agenda, which is what Safe Schools is all about. I direct your attention to an article written by a quackademic by the name of Melissa Kang. And let me read you Melissa Kang's bio. Melissa Kang is an associate professor in the Faculty of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, and a clinical associate professor in the Department of General Practice at the Westmead Clinical School, University of Sydney. She is a primary healthcare academic and has worked clinically in youth health since 1993 in community and hospital settings. Her research areas include, get this, adolescent sexuality and sexual health. You heard that right, adolescent sexuality. That should raise red flags right there, as in WTF, exclamation point. Her research areas include adolescent sexuality and sexual health and access to primary health care for young people. And this also segues into the whole concept of mature miners, decision-making by mature miners, which is right off the Victoria State Government Education and Training website. And I'll talk more about that, because basically it's paving the way for youngsters to be deemed mature, who then up and decide to have a gender change operation or something. But it's seldom, let's say, a case where these kids make up their own mind to do these things, to begin to receive hormone injections, begin to go through the stages preparing them for a sex change operation. It's invariably the malign, pernicious influence of these counselors, of these educators, of these teachers, so-called, who keep pumping into these kids' brains that, you know, they're neither a boy nor a girl, but if they're a boy, how would they like to be a girl, and vice versa, right? They're trying to make it seem as if these kids have a choice in the matter, when actually what we're talking about is hardcore mind control, brainwashing, psychological abuse, grooming these children to be bait, if you will, to be preyed upon by pedophiles. Back to Melissa Kang. Her research areas include adolescent sexuality and sexual health and access to primary health care for young people. She teaches postgraduate students, so now there's going to be a whole tidal wave of people with these same kind of beliefs that are going around, winding up in the academic professions. They're going to wind up in colleges and teaching positions all over the place. And she has trained a wide range of health and educational professionals in adolescent health. She has been involved in developing resources in adolescent and or sexual health for GPs, that's general practitioners in Australia. Think of primary care physicians, PCPs in California. She has been involved in developing resources in adolescent and or sexual health for GPs for the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, NSW Health, that's New South Wales Health, that's the state of New South Wales in Australia, where Sydney is. And it's for the, get this, Office of Kids and Families. That's right. NSW Health, and in parentheses, Office of Kids and Families. And the Sexually Transmitted Infections Programs Unit for NSW Health. Melissa has written the Dolly Doctor medical column for Dolly Magazine for the past 18 years. And you ought to get a copy of the Dolly Doctor medical column for Dolly Magazine and see for yourself what they're writing about. So let's go into this article she wrote. Before I do that, let me talk a bit about this concept of offending everyone. Everyone's offended. In California, well, throughout the U.S. now, they have these no-offend-me zones, where these university kids who've been brainwashed into taking on victim identity politics, they use the old victim-aggressor mode. That's what they've been inculcated and trained in, and that's how they shut down free speech on these campuses. Oh, I'm being offended. Racism. You're a bigot. Racism. Shut this person down. Don't let this person give a speech. Right, but it's okay for them to, you know, commit acts of violence and vandalism and everything else because they're so offended. And the thing about it that is particularly irksome to me is when these people out there use the victim-aggressor mentality and they say, oh, so-and-so is being biased or bigoted or offensive to this, that, or the other identity group, right? The whole point of the Safe Schools agenda was it piggybacked itself onto the LGBT movement. You will actually find, folks, if you look online, look up Google Images, you will find pictures in pictures of a rally of same-sex equality, gender equality people, LGBT crowd, etc., and all the other letters that come after it. And in some of those pictures, you will see someone holding up a placard which reads Safe Schools. So even in public, the Safe Schools pedo groomers are hanging out with the LGBT crowd. You can find pictures of this, and don't take my word for it. Look it up on your own. So these easily offended people, they hear somebody talking about how safe schools is really just grooming for pedophilia, setting these kids up to be victims, setting these kids up to be preyed upon by pedophiles. And then they scream, oh, I'm offended. You're discriminating against gay people. You're discriminating against homosexuals. You're discriminating against lesbians, etc., etc. No, that's not the case at all. There is absolutely no connection between a person who's raising awareness about safe schools and all of its guises and all of the different names it goes under, and someone who is a bigot or anti-homosexual, okay? And I shouldn't even have to come up with this disclaimer again, but I will. I have gay family members. In fact, I just had a very interesting discussion with a gay family member in the recent past. See, the difference between my gay family members and the gay family members of other people are my gay family members are very switched on. I can talk to my gay family members about the New World Order, about the Rothschild Zionist, about false flag terrorism, etc., etc. Okay? And if that offends somebody, too bad. Oh, wait a minute, you know, that's offensive to me because my gay family members and my gay friends, they don't know those things. Well, they should know those things. No reason to be offended by it. So here I am talking to a gay family member about the New World Order, and it wasn't a one-sided conversation. It wasn't me like being a self-indulgent git just flapping my gums. It was a two-way discourse, and frankly, when you know I come across a really switched-on person, I like to take a back seat and just listen and take in what this other person has to say, what their perspective, what their viewpoint is. And this viewpoint was coming from an openly gay man, family member. And I have other gay family members. Not all of them are switched on as this individual, okay? So we're talking about the NATO, Pentagon, CIA, aid to ISIS, Daesh, ISIL, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call it. We talked about how great it was that the Russians came in and helped the Syrian army beat the hell out of the ISIS and kick them out. We talked about all kinds of stuff. Going back to World War I and before, this particular gay relative of mine is extremely switched on. It begs the question, how could I be biased or anti-gay if some of my own family members are extremely switched on gay people, right? Openly gay people. So this whole, oh, you're being offensive to gays, that's a red herring. And you know what? Try something else because that won't work anymore. What we're talking about is safe schools, pedo grooming, mind controlling these children. And you know, I should mention also that sometimes the parents of these children are, you know, pedos themselves. And they're inculcating in their own children's minds, this whole transgender thing. And they make it so they turn the kid transgender, and they want the kid to be addressed by the proper pronoun, gender pronoun. And so this kid will go to school dressed as a member of the opposite sex, and heaven help anyone, child, teacher, counselor, anyone who calls that kid by the wrong pronoun, refers to her as him or him as her, whatever the case may be. Because then these parents and all their organizations behind them will just go on a rampage because they're so offended and their rights are being violated, right? Their rights are being violated because someone looked at a boy who was wearing makeup and referred offhandedly to him or to he. But suddenly, because of this mind control, mass mind control, cultural Marxism and all the rest, well, now that's a thought crime, right? So I make this point that I talk to gay family members who are extremely switched on about the New World Order and have these really interesting, remarkable, enlightening conversations with them. And I do a lot of listening, and these people are really switched on. I have more than one gay relative that's really switched on. So don't anyone come up to me hammering about how I am being offensive towards gays when I have openly gay family members, males in particular, who are quite outspoken about the New World Order. See, that's one of the reasons why they hate this. I think his name is Milo Yiannopoulos guy. I don't know what his shtick is. I don't know what his real deal is. But he seems to drive these social justice warriors crazy. And I guess because he espouses, quote-unquote, conservative values. Well, good on him. It's his right to espouse any value he wants without having to worry about all these brain-dead, mind-controlled social justice warriors and victimized and deeply offended college students from trying to shut down his speaking gigs. And this Milo Yiannopoulos guy, if I even got his name right, is gay, openly gay. So all you easily offended people out there, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Anyway, here's the opinion piece written by the aforementioned Melissa Kang on the sbs.com.au website. SBS is a free-to-air channel in Australia. They usually show the World Cup football matches when the World Cup rolls around. And they have a lot of different documentaries, news items, movies they air, and on their webpage, their website, they actually have a subpage dedicated to sexuality. Okay, here's the article that can be found on the sbs.com.au website, dated 8 December 2017 by the aforementioned Melissa Kang. And actually, it was from a magazine called The Conversation. So sbs.com.au sourced it back to The Conversation. And I will read you Melissa Kang's article. The results of the same-sex marriage postal survey were clear. Australia voted in favor of equality. That's how it was all coached, folks. And it was all supposed to be nothing about equality. Don't worry about your lifestyle being impinged upon in any way. Don't worry about, you know, the laws being changed to make it more difficult for people, for heterosexuals to live their lives in peace. That was what the appeal was, right? The results of the same-sex marriage postal survey were clear. Australia voted in favor of equality. The Marriage Equality Bill has passed, and the mandate to deliver inclusive sexuality education in schools is more pressing than ever, okay? Now, notice how the writer goes immediately from the same-sex marriage equality to now the mandate to deliver inclusive sexuality education in schools is more pressing than ever. This is what happened in Canada. This is what's happened in the UK. It's happening in America, right? One necessarily follows the other in their scheme of things. We've changed the legal definition of marriage between a man and a woman. Now that there's equality, quote-unquote, and people of the same sex, the same gender, what a loaded term that is now, gender, now that they can marry and have the same rights as a married heterosexual couple, oh, let's just start pushing all this sexuality inclusive education in schools. LGBTQI inclusive sexuality education should embrace diversity in the classroom, the staff room, and in whole of school policies. LGBTQI plus, I don't know what the plus means, inclusive sexuality education reduces negative stereotypes and biases, creating a safer school environment. You see, it's all about, you know, not being offended, and it's got nothing to do with preventing people from being bullied. They're doing nothing to stop children from being bullied. Autistic kids are always getting bullied in school. Nothing seems to be done to protect them, right? LGBTQI plus inclusive sexuality education reduces negative stereotypes and biases, creating a safer school environment for LGBTQI plus students. When schools adopt inclusive policies across all school curricula, not just sexuality education, all students feel safer. Isn't that nice? The next paragraph, how many young Australians identify as LGBTQI+? Question mark. The acronym stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and more. Adolescents might not want a specific label or might not feel safe disclosing their identities or attractions. So we're talking about a varied group, about a lot of our country's young people. And there's a built-in contradiction to that statement. You know, these young adolescents might not feel safe disclosing their identities or attractions when some of the leading activists for this whole movement are outspoken people like Gary Dowsett, wants to make pedophilia considered to be just another orientation. Let me see just very quickly what the guy wrote. Here it is. Pedophilia should be a part of the gay movement. It must be legally recognized as a wider sexual liberation. Gary Dowsett, the founder of Safe Schools. That's Dowsett, D-O-W-S-E-T-T, of Safe Schools. Again, the quote regarding pedophilia. Pedophilia should be a part of the gay movement. It must be legally recognized as a wider sexual liberation, right? So that's taken right from the horse's mouth. My apologies to all the horses out there. And just look up this Gary Dowsett guy yourself and make up your mind about him. So right there, you have a clear connection between pedophilia and sexual orientation being and pedophilia being normalized. Another person that's extremely outspoken is a woman named Roz Ward, R-O-Z Ward, and she's extremely outspoken. I don't even know, you know, I mean, it's so confusing. I'm guessing she's a woman. I don't know, does she identify as a male or as a female? She's got short hair, what some would call butch maybe, but, you know, they're so touchy and they're so easily offended, right? So I guess this Roz Ward person, let's say, is extremely, extremely outspoken about gender equality, transgenderism, normalizing all this stuff, pushing safe schools, right? So this whole concept of, oh, kids, adolescents, they're, you know, they're kind of uncertain because they don't want to, you know, put themselves at risk if they come out and say that they're, you know, this gender or that gender or they're homosexual, because it's just not safe for them. When the very advocates of all this are extremely outspoken, extremely psychologically abusive. This Melissa Kang woman, when you go onto these forums and Facebook groups and other places where she writes about this stuff, and in the comment section of some of her writings, and when someone complains and says, wait a minute, there's something wrong with all this, oh, Melissa Kang just blows your top. So it's okay for them to be, you know, strong-willed and be, like, in your face about this, but they're doing it to protect the meek and the weak and the, you know, the vulnerable kids who, you know, just want to change genders or are having gender identity issues and they don't want to be bullied. So you see the built-in contradiction that the advocates themselves are these in-your-face pushy people. They want to normalize pedophilia. It's just another orientation. Never mind what the kids want. It doesn't matter if the kids getting violated, abused, attacked, screaming. Oh no, that's beside the point, right? It's what these pedophiles want. That's what this is all about. This Roz Ward woman is openly a Marxist, pushing cultural Marxism like it's going out of style. Again, you have that connection again, folks. Here is an article from theaustralian.com.au. And there's a picture of Roz Ward. And this is this is under the education section of the Australian newspaper, byline written by Rebecca Urban, The Australian, May 23rd, 2016, at midnight. That's when it was published. Roz Ward, the hardline Marxist behind the contentious Safe Schools program, has been appointed to a high-level committee advising the Victorian government on education issues. Oh, really? So this radical hardline Marxist lady is now the advisor to the Victorian government on education issues. Well, at least as of May 23, 2016, maybe that's changed, right? But the article goes on to say, and I'm bouncing between articles, folks, I know, but I'm trying to make a point here. This whole concept of being offended and using that this being offended concept as a weapon. It's weaponized being offended. It's being offended as a weaponized kind of thing to browbeat people into submission to go along with all this stuff. And it's the children that are the ones at risk and the future generations. That's even if we have future generations, right? Unless we put an end to all this mass slaughter, mass genocide, mass craziness going on. Okay, continuing with the Australian article, with a taxpayer-funded sexual and gender diversity program having become a hot election issue after the Greens and Labor pledged to boost funding, thank you very much, Greens and Labor, not really, the Andrews Labor government appears increasingly committed to pushing an LGBTI agenda in the schoolyard. Ms. Ward, already a director of the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria, has joined the education reference group set up to provide advice on the government's LGBTI education priorities and identify new ways to improve equality for gay and transgender youth in schools. The group comes under the mantle of the government's LGBTI task force, co-chaired by leading transgender activist Brenda Appleton, which provides direct advice to Equality Minister Martin Foley. While the task force membership was announced in September, the makeup of its education reference group has not been publicly disclosed, but Ms. Ward's role is detailed on the website of La Trobe University's Australian Research Center in Sex, Health, and Society, where she works. Coincidentally, that's where this Gary Dowsett works also. He's part of that La Trobe University crowd. Ms. Ward, an academic with a degree in gender studies, how long has that discipline been around for, gender studies, has become the controversial face of the Safe Schools movement largely due to her extreme left political views, including publicly linking the program to a broader Marxist push to liberate society from, quote, gender constructs, unquote. She has also shown some contempt for parents who harbor concerns about the program, which preaches a politically correct approach to sex education and an extreme and contested gender ideology. Ms. Ward has previously conceded that Safe Schools was not an anti-bullying program, but rather a means to promote sexual and gender diversity. So the cat's out of the bag. So this Roz Ward woman, this Roz Ward person, this Roz Ward carbon-based unit, to use a Star Trek, you know, term, where's a betazoid when you need one, right? Let me read that last sentence again. Ms. Ward has previously conceded that Safe Schools was not an anti-bullying program, but rather a means to promote sexual and gender diversity. So she's admitting, this person is admitting, that Safe Schools has got nothing to do with anti-bullying, that it's a means to promote sexual and gender diversity. Article goes on to say she has advised school principals that they could dismiss parental concerns about the program with a, quote, tough luck. In other words, if you don't like it, stuff it, parents, right? That's very Marxist, where the state feels they have control of everyone's children. That's how they operate. And despite having no education qualifications, she has taught elements of the program designed for the year 7 and 8 curriculums to year 3 children. So, she, you know, this woman from La Trobe University's Australian Research Center in Sex, Health, and Society, where some of the members openly promote pedophilia, this woman is teaching year 3 children. That's grade 3 children, folks. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, if you're an American listening to this. A communique from the LGBTI task force meeting last month, which was posted on the Victorian government's website last week. And for those that don't know, Victoria is a large state in the southern part of Australia. New South Wales is another state. Queensland is another state. Western Australia is another state. Okay? Victoria is a big state. Think Texas. Think Pennsylvania. Think Ohio. It's a state. A communique from the LGBTI Task Force meeting last month, which was posted on the Victorian government's website last week, reveals that the Education Reference Group recently met for the first time. It discussed aspects of the school curriculum, including the contentious Respectful Relationships Program and the implementation of the Catching On Early resource. Now look those things up, folks. Written with input from the La Trobe University Research Center, again a pedo group, which has links with pedo groups in America and elsewhere, Catching On Early is a 200-page guide for primary schools that touches on gender theory and contains a lesson on IVF. I mean, talk about starting early. I mean, they're still zygotes. I mean, they're on the train, the developing fetus, right? On this stuff. Catching On Early is a 200-page guide for primary schools that touches on gender theory and contains a lesson on, quote, IVF, surrogacy, and other assisted conception treatments, unquote. A spokesman defended the Catching On Early program as, quote, an evidence-based and optional resource founded on research into sexuality education, unquote. She said it was not compulsory in any school. Well, that's debatable because they're trying to make it compulsory, right? So, again, they get all offended about anything, but everyone else is supposed to roll over to all this stuff. Again, the built-in contradiction. They want to protect these meek, weak kids that are, you know, just coming to grips with their own gender identity and their own sexuality. And oh, by the way, it's not really about protecting kids from being bullied. I mean, and Roz Ward, the leader of the Safe Schools program, just said that in this article. She was quoted by The Australian as saying that, right? Okay, back to that Melissa Kang woman and the article that she wrote. Around 10% of Australian secondary students are same-sex attracted. A smaller percentage will identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. Gender identity is how an individual conceives of themselves as male, female, both, or neither. Usually this develops in the preschool years. We don't have good Australian data yet, but a national survey in New Zealand found 1.2% of secondary students identified as transgender. Okay, let's, for the sake of argument, let's say that those numbers are valid, okay? 1.2% of secondary students in a survey in New Zealand, and the secondary students identified as transgender. If only 1.2% of the secondary students identified as transgender, is that any reason to shove this down the throats of every single student from kindergarten? Oh, excuse me, from zygote, fertilized embryo state on up, right? Is that any reason? You have the small minority of people. Oh, but, you know, no matter how small the minority, equality, you can't offend them. They have their rights too. So you're going to cram all this down everyone else's throat because 1.2% of the secondary students identify as transgender. The whole thing is insane. And then Melissa Kang's article goes on to say, about 1.7% of children are intersex. That's a new one for me. Which means they are born with physical sex characteristics that don't fit medical and social norms for female or male bodies. A recent survey suggested intersex students are more likely to be non-heterosexual. Article goes on to say, what does LGBTQI plus inclusive sexuality education look like? The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, defines, quote, comprehensive sexuality education, unquote, as being age-appropriate, culturally relevant, scientifically accurate, chuckle, snort, and non-judgmental and acknowledges diversity. There's lies and distortions with all of that because it's very judgmental. It's not non-judgmental because, you know, there are these radical feminist Marxist freaks that are saying that all white women that have white babies, they should, like, abort their white babies. They should kill their white babies. That's how extreme and extremist and whack-jawed out these people are. Comprehensive sexuality education also addresses values, relationships, consent, and pleasure, and provides information about access to relevant health services. It has a positive impact on knowledge, decision-making skills, communication with parents or carers, and use of protection against pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections for sexually active students. Again, pretending to really care when they don't. Canada and some states in the USA already mandate LGBTQI+ inclusive sexuality education. Australia now has a national curriculum on health and physical education that generally adopts these principles. You know, what we're talking about now is just, it's a full court press. And this is only weeks after that national mailed-in survey, right? And how quickly they're pushing this. Here's another interesting article from opensourcetruth.com. Safe schools have our children's genitals on the LGBT chopping block. Safe schools have our children's genitals on the LGBT chopping block, written September 11, 2016, source from Truth Opener. And there's a video on it. Every parent needs to watch this clear and powerful analysis of the Safe Schools program by George Christensen, MP, that's C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N, Member of Parliament, and where he's warning people about what safe schools are all about. This is George Christensen. Thank you for standing up, George, right, and doing your job, warning about what safe schools is all about. And there are videos of this guy. And here's the byline. Schools told to teach kids that... Okay, let me stop, rewind. Schools told to teach kids that sex varies like the weather. Breaking, this is getting out of control. The NSW, that's New South Wales, government has ordered an investigation into the Education Department's launch of an official teaching resource that urges teachers to, quote, degender, unquote, their classroom language and promotes activities that encourage students to think about sexuality as, quote, non-binary, unquote, or existing on a continuum, quote, like temperature or the weather, unquote. And these are the gender cameos presented to year 10 students, okay? That's like 10th grade sophomore for an American audience, okay? Gender cameos presented to year 10 students. The source is New South Wales Education Department, okay? This is official government stuff here. Joseph is married and has 3 children. His only experiences of sexual intercourse have been with women. When he masturbates, he fantasizes only about men. Joseph talks negatively about men having sexual relationships with other men, although he himself is attracted to several of his male friends. After an adolescence that included dating and having sex with girls, Alex got a job out in a remote country town. There he developed a close and loving relationship, which included sexual contact with another man. When he transferred closer to his home, he began dating women again. Source, New South Wales, NSW, Education Department. So this is being pushed by the NSW government, just like the same stuff is being pushed by the Victorian government, etc., etc. The NSW government has ordered an investigation into the Education Department's launch of an official teaching resource that urges teachers to, quote, degender, unquote, their classroom language and promote activities that encourage students to think about sexuality as, quote, non-binary, unquote, or existing on a continuum, quote, like temperature or the weather, unquote. Education Minister Adrian Piccoli yesterday ordered his department to withdraw the sexual and gender diversity resource for teachers, which appears to have been heavily based on the Safe Schools program. You think? Alerted to its existence by the Australian, he said he was, quote, very angry, unquote, the resource had, quote, got out, unquote. Yeah, somebody leaked it out, thank you very much. I have directed the department to take it down immediately and review the material and all links, he said. Safe Schools materials are only to be used strictly in accordance with the revised guidelines established by the federal government. I am furious this policy has not been adhered to and have demanded a full explanation from the departmental secretary, blah, blah, quack, quack, quack. All he's doing is just covering his own ass, because really this is what they want, right? He's making it seem like he's outraged. He's making it seem like, you know, he's doing something about it, but this is what they want. launch quietly this year the 17-page teacher toolbox for delivering content relating to diversity of sex, sexuality, and gender contains a list of resources the educators can refer to in their teachings. One recommended activity invites Year 10 students to consider a range of characters such as Joseph, who was married with 3 children, but when he masturbates, fantasizes only about men, unquote, and is, quote, attracted to several of his male friends, unquote, and Alex, who had sex with girls as a teenager, but developed a relationship with a man after moving to a country town. I mentioned this earlier. Students are asked to determine each character's sexuality and whether they fit into, quote, traditional binary thinking, unquote, regarding sexuality. What the hell is traditional binary thinking, right? When I think of binary, I think of, like, binary star systems, binary thinking, binary sexuality, binary this. They're just making things up, right? I had this supervisor once, and you talk about a reptilian friggin' energy field. I would walk into the office where I worked, and I would immediately know if she was there because the whole icky energy field of hers was present. It literally filled up the whole office, right? I didn't even have to see her to know she was there because her icky energy was everywhere. And she had this saying, you know, when the customers would call in and on the incoming inbound calls, it was a customer center call service for bills, right? And she had a saying, we just make shit up, unquote. Basically, what she was saying was how they came up with the billing, how they determined, you know, usage of the service for each of the customers. They just make shit up, basically, because she was just being dismissive because so many people called in with messed up bills and contesting the bills and contesting their usage, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, we just make shit up. And that comment always stuck with me because a lot of these organizations, they just make shit up. Pardon my Anunnaki. Oh, I hope I didn't offend anybody. Happy New Year to you. Students are asked to determine each character's sexuality and whether they fit into traditional binary thinking regarding sexuality. Another promoted resource is a teaching program developed around the film Gayby Baby. That's spelled G-A-Y-B-Y, second word baby, Gayby Baby, which the Baird government banned last year. The teacher toolbox has many similarities with the Safe Schools Coalition, you think? Which has divided politicians, school communities, and parents because of its promotion of the contested idea that gender and sexuality is fluid. It sparked a federal government review. The toolbox sources the same research, that's the La Trobe University crowd I was just talking about, the toolbox sources the same research that helped to inform Safe Schools and refers to several Safe Schools resources and programs, including a guide to help teachers support a student to transition their gender identity at school, right? NSW Family Planning, which helped develop the teacher toolbox, administers the Safe Schools program in that state, right? So an official state agency has been created, NSW Family Planning, which is 100% on board with this and pushes it. And underneath, they have a picture of that Gary Dowsett guy with the quote, pedophilia should be a part of the gay movement. It must be legally recognized as a wider sexual liberation, unquote, Gary Dowsett, Safe Schools. Article goes on to say, the push for gender-neutral language in classrooms sparked an outcry this year when it emerged staff at Cheltenham Girls' School in Sydney had been asked to stop referring to students as, quote, girls, ladies, and women. The concept is explained within another promoted resource titled Affirming Diversity, which is another official departmental resource. Teachers are advised to explain to the class that, quote, sometimes people think in terms of opposites, unquote. This is called binary thinking, the resource says. In most cases where the concept is simple, like the temperature or the weather, this is not a problem because it doesn't affect anyone else. For more complex concepts, like sexuality, binary thinking is not useful. Australian Christian lobby head Lyle Shelton said if political leaders could not protect children from, quote, rainbow activists, unquote, there would be no stopping the marginalization of parents if the Marriage Act was changed. Yes, it has been changed because that vote passed. And there's no telling if the vote count was actually legitimate. We saw what happened in Florida, the rigging of the votes there with the Diebold voting machines, which allowed George W. to be the figurehead that led directly to 9/11 and everything else, right? And we've seen the vote rigging in states in America where the votes were rigged in favor of Hillary Clinton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that votes are rigged. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to assume that it was a legitimate vote, but it's a done deal, okay? So the Marriage Act has been changed now. And this guy, this person, Lyle Shelton, person, because Lyle is a male name, so don't want to offend anybody. Lyle Shelton goes on to say, such is the fear of politicians of being branded a homophobe, the Safe School activists are now well and truly beyond the scrutiny and control of representative government, Mr. Shelton said. But you know what? Two sides of the same coin. It's not, you know, they're both working towards the same agenda, right? The government and these activists. Further down, the article says, utter madness, a four-year-old New South Wales preschooler being encouraged to swap gender. In one children's hospital alone, 250 children, some as young as three, are being assisted by the gender dysphoria unit. There is actually a gender dysphoria unit, and gender activists, backed by many MPs nationally, have the nerve to defend safe schools. And the article finishes up by saying, this is the inevitable result unless we can turn the tide. We owe it to our children and grandchildren to do so. Further down the article, breaking, another attack on innocent children. Roz Ward is at it again. I already mentioned this Roz Ward woman earlier. Oh, excuse me, this Roz Ward person. Don't want to offend anybody. Another attack on innocent children. Roz Ward is at it again. Victorian schools are to dedicate the month of October to celebrate sexual and gender diversity through history. The program is a combined effort by the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria, Minus 18, that's another group, Minus 18, what the heck, and the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives. Roz Ward said, it's important for all students to understand that diversity has always existed, in the same way we talk about the history of cultural diversity. Ward is hoping that the month of October will be identified with LGBTI History Month. It'll be another thing in our community calendar we can all get behind, like Midsummer in January. From what we understand, parental consent is not required since the subject is not a part of a sexual education program, but will be taught from a history perspective. Parents, contact your schools today and ask that this program be stopped. Contact your local MP and demand that this stop. And that's presupposing the local member of parliament is actually, you know, against this kind of thing. They usually stick their place men and place women and all these different place people, excuse me, in these different seats in parliament to make sure they get what they want. But you see how clever that is, right? So they're calling it a history issue now. Oh, we're just going to change history and we're going to just call it history of cultural diversity and we're going to celebrate sexual diversity. But oh no, it's not sexual education. So don't anyone complain about that. It's taught from a history perspective, right? So it's a full court press. And here's another thing that's very important to understand is Victoria, the state government, on their own website, Victoria State Government Education and Training. And this is, type this in, mature minors, mature, second word minors, M-I-N-O-R-S. This is all over the Western world now. The purpose of this policy, according to this website, to provide guidance to principals of the schools, to provide guidance to principals, not the parents, to provide guidance to principals on when and how to assess a student as being mature enough to make their own decision about a particular issue. Let me read that again, without comments this time. Purpose of this policy, the mature minors policy, to provide guidance to principals on when and how to assess a student as being mature enough to make their own decision about a particular issue. Throughout this policy, principal means the principal or a principal's nominee, which may include a student support service officer, doubtless one of these LGBT safe schools types, right? Or other nominated staff member, depending on the decision to be made. Parent means person who has decision-making responsibility for a child. Prerequisite policy, decision-making responsibilities for students. Policy, the department recognizes that parents, guardians, and carers play an invaluable role in boosting a child's learning and well-being through being actively informed and involved from the early years through adolescence. For this reason, schools continue to engage parents in schooling matters even after the student has turned 18 and are legally recognized as adults. Notwithstanding this, for a variety of reasons, students under the age of 18 sometimes ask to make decisions on their own behalf without involvement of their parents. Circumstances in which a principal should make an assessment as to whether a child is sufficiently mature to make their own decision about a particular issue include when there is a dispute about a schooling matter between a student and their parents. Let's say in our example that, you know, there's a counselor that's trying to tell a male student that he's really a female student, and the boy goes along with it, and the parents don't like it. Well, that becomes a dispute, and what's going to happen is the school is going to say, well, this kid who wants to become referred to as a girl, he's a mature minor. He's a mature minor, and the parents, they got nothing to do with it, okay? And there's other items. There is a dispute about a schooling matter between the student's parents, okay? There is a dispute about a schooling matter between the student's parents. They're trying to give the impression that these kids are making up their minds about this on their own, instead of being coerced, bullied, psychologically hectored, and badgered, and mind-controlled by all these safe schools types, right? Here's another thing where this comes into play. The school cannot contact the student's parent about its decision to be made. Okay, I'll read that again. The school cannot contact the student's parent about its decision to be made. So there's a counselor and maybe a GP, a doctor at the school, and he wants to start giving this kid like hormone treatments right on the spot. Hey, somebody give the parents a phone call. See if they're on board with this. I don't got their number. Okay, turn the page. Kid's a mature minor. He can make his own mind about this kind of thing, right? Here's another thing. A student is living independently from their parents. And, of course, that's open to interpretation. The principal considers that refusing a student's request to make their own decision would have an adverse impact on the student. Of course, you know, we can't offend or psychologically, you know, harm the student. If the student is being coerced and manipulated and hectored and badgered and bullied into, ironically bullied into wanting to change gender, right? I mean, what business does a principal have in refusing a student's request, right? If the student is a mature minor. This is all part and parcel of all of this. And here's further down, here's another doozy. The law recognizes that a young person with sufficient maturity and intelligence to understand the nature and effect of a decision has the capacity to make that decision on their own behalf. There is no specific age when a young person may be deemed sufficiently mature and capable of making his or her own decision. So a 7-year-old boy is hectored and badgered and bullied into wanting to be a 7-year-old girl. Who is the school principal or anyone else, or even the parents? Who are they to say that this little kid can't change gender? Because, according to this website, education.vic.gov.au, official Victorian government website, there is no specific age when a young person may be deemed sufficiently mature and capable of making his or her own decision. So you have to just check out this website for yourself, because, again, this works hand in glove with the Safe Schools agenda. And, you know, further down on the Victoria official website, it says, a principal may deem a student to be a mature minor for some decisions and not for others. So it's very subjective. Oh, you're mature in this, but you're not mature in this, right? And what are your parents? Don't talk to your parents about it, right? What have they got to say? Your parents, they're crazy. They're abusing you for calling you a boy. and they're abusing you for dressing you up like a boy, right? That's the real message. Let me read that again. A principal may deem a student to be a mature minor for some decisions and not for others. For example, a principal may deem a student to be a mature minor for the purpose of participating in a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex support group at school or attend a sex education class. In these circumstances, the principal may decide that the student may choose to participate on their own behalf without parent consent. This does not automatically mean that the school would deem the student a mature minor for any other aspect of their education or welfare. You see how selective that is, okay? It's spelling it out right there. Let me read that again. A principal may deem a student to be a mature minor for some decisions and not for others. For example, a principal may deem a student to be a mature minor for the purpose of participating in a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex support group at school or attend a sex education class. In these circumstances, the principal may decide that the student may choose to participate on their own behalf without parent consent. This does not automatically mean that the school would deem the student a mature minor for any other aspect of their education or welfare. Very selective. What if the same kid wants to, like, study, I don't know, real history, right? Maybe he wants to talk about something controversial, conspiracies. Oh, no, can't do that. No way. You're not mature enough, right? So it's all coming out in the open, and it's, you know what? The bottom line is, and pay attention, all the easily offended people out there, I'm offended by all this, all right? I'm offended. Offended. Who's advocating for all these students out there, that these kids that unwittingly walking into these places? Who's advocating for them besides the parents that know about this, right? And they're quickly being marginalized. The way the mainstream media treats the parents who complain about safe schools, they make them seem like they're a bunch of whack jobs. And that should tell you all you need to know about the media. So anyhow, this whole discussion, or this talk rather, monologue, was all about being offended and the double standards used. How some people can be offended and use that as an excuse to shut down other people, whether it's Milo Yiannopoulos, whether it's David Icke, or whoever it is. Oh, I'm offended, right? But in true hypocritical fashion, in true narcissist fashion, they have no qualms being hypocrites and act like they're defending the interest and sensibilities and protecting these vulnerable kids when it's completely bass-ackwards opposite, okay? So I just wanted to make that point very clear. Anyhow, we've reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Because this is a frequency war.